Nerd Soul.
Okay, that's right. Lay Ill Kid at One Yourself, holding it down, bringing that street geek and nerd soul. Like, comment, subscribe, hit the bell. Let's go, because we got Soul Taco, y'all. That's right. You best believe it. We're going to get up in here, talk about a little bit of anime, just a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Some animated projects getting in. Yeah, you best believe we're going to be getting into that Ninja Kamui. Uh-huh. See, we was looking for a healing. See, Higan, he got beat up a little bit. Got beat up a little bit. He had to go to ground. And he got saved by Emma, of all people. See, we was thinking that the voice was a dude because she was modulating the voice. And then also, when we saw Emma's name, we was like, yo, man, look, Emma better not be bad. She better not be bad. Look, I don't know why her name on this list. I don't like it. And we found out that Emma was a super double agent. All right? She was deep, 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 deep undercover. All right? And also found out that not only was she deep undercover, but had a background with Mari. And it ended up being very touching and also sad. Because, I mean, she talks about how after Mari left, they kept in touch and, you know, they kept talking and everything. And I guess, you know, Emma couldn't leave. She was too, you know, maybe she was in too deep, or she had to keep her cover or whatever. Or maybe she just, you know, was kind of torn between leaving and staying. But she stayed there and she kept contact all through the years, through Mari having a child, you know, being with Higan, all the things that they went through. And even so much so that when she found out that the hit was on, she did all she could to try to save, you know, to try to save someone. And I mean, she used her ninja art on Higan, which now solves the question or the issue with Yamaji talking about like his secret art and we don't know and all that stuff. Now we know it wasn't his secret art. It was Emma's. The only thing is, like, Emma's like, this is a one ticket, you know, you only do one. When you do one, that pathway or whatever ain't available no more. And the hurt in the voice actor's performance when he was saying, why did you save me? Why didn't you save, you know, why didn't you save, you know, my wife? Why didn't you save my son? And, you know, she talked about how, you know, she wished she could have. She was too late. You know, of course, I'm sure they're not putting out these notices of hit squads, you know, worldwide. Maybe she just found out, you know, with just not enough time to kind of get in there and kind of be part of the sneaky, you know, squad to, I guess, sort of up in their plan without them knowing it was her. You know what I'm saying? So the performance that played out there was actually kind of cool, man. I enjoyed that part where we're getting to know more about Emma and more about her journey and more about why she's there. Because sometimes they just throw in kind of like, you know, these plot devices and we don't really get a good explanation. But here we actually do. We get a decent story. I mean, a decent backstory for Emma and a reason for her want to save them. But unfortunately, she was just too late. But here we finally find out the whole reason we got the story, you know, or the name Kamui, because the suit that she's going to put, of course, your boy Higan into is the Kamui suit or whatever. It's the most advanced suit. It needs a special neural link. And this is basically a narrative way to kind of ground Higan for this episode. But I mean, he also needs, you know, he got to get some, you know, some orange slices and some protein shakes to get his body back. But during that time, the Insidious Six activate the whole city, bruh. Or I guess not the Insidious Six no more, but the Insidious Six activate the whole city. There's sleeper agents all over the place. I'm telling you, Alza is super duper corrupt. But the way they activated them and the way that everything was mobilized, I gotta give them credit for it, man. It's a well put together. I hate to say it, but it is a well put together and well oiled machine that Alza has going on, man. They hit that little button and people's arms started, or the little dot in their hand or whatever started blinking. It was like, all right, cool, kill time. And look, I can't hate the game, man. I can't hate the game or the play on that. I mean, that takes some organization, some true organization. And the way that they found, well, first, the brother with the fade, he said, you know, my fade is too good. So hopefully he's not dead. I mean, he did get caught in the blast, so he might be dead, but I hope he's not dead because he's a brother with a fade, man. I don't want the brother with a fade to go down. You know what I'm saying? Maybe he can change his ways. You know, look at the man in the mirror and make that change. It's going to feel real good. But in this episode, we get Big Head Lil Body against Emma. And this is, I got a question for you guys when it comes to the suits. Do you think that the suits lose their power too fast? Because it seemed like they were fighting for, I don't know, like a minute or two or 3 minutes. But it seemed like they needed a charge pretty quick. And it seemed like they needed a charge quicker here, but didn't need a charge at all when they fought Hagan together. And the fight seemed to be approximately the same time. Now, at the same time, huh? But at the same time, this is TV time, which has no concept of real time. Like, TV time, you can just throw it out the window, man. And like, remember Hell's Paradise? It seemed like they was there for like a good 2 weeks or something like that. And then at the end of the show, when they were sending more people, they said it had only been like 3 days. I'm wondering, what? What do you mean 3 days? They've been there for like 2 weeks. But anyway, scratch all that. The fight between Emma and Big Head Lil Body, I think, was really cool. The only thing is, I believe the movement, as far as the fluidity of the fights, punches and kicks, the sword moves, I think the fluidity and that movement and that animation is actually better when Hagan is outside the suit. But I know this is going to be his, like, I guess his graduation into a ninja suit. So, I mean, yeah. I guess this works. And we'll see how he used the suit. Because, of course, this suit is supposed to be the, like the creme de la creme suit, you know what I'm saying? So this might end up being better than, or looking better, or looking faster than the suit with Big Head Lil Body and Emma. Not to say that they look bad, it's just that I preferred the kind of human body aesthetic of why he was flipping and twisting and contorting his body. So we'll see how that plays out, because it's not that I didn't like the fight scene. I just prefer the fight scene with like the actual body movements better. But we'll see how that plays out, because we got like a little peek of it at the end of this episode, basically. Now, on to, you know, I got to talk about your boy, Mike. You know what I'm saying? You got to talk. Look, your boy, Mike, man, look, he been getting his rest on, man. 10 days. All right, now I don't know, once again, TV time, because I'm guessing, because I don't think Emma said they had been on the run for 10 days, but maybe they have, or maybe they have and they just didn't mention it because it wasn't important to mention. But I'm like, I don't remember them saying nothing about no 10 days, but then Mike been asleep for 10 days. You know what I'm saying? Come on, bro, 10 whole days. I mean, I know this job gets tiring, but 10 days? Whew, that brother, he gonna enjoy his retirement. He gonna get his retirement worth. Also, he ain't supposed to be doing this anyway, so I mean, I guess somebody be like, it serves him right. But the ex-Alpha employee's like, bruh, you supposed to be protecting me. Like, not me protecting you. Like, what's going on up in here? So I thought that was funny. And the fact that they might have another crack at going against Alza with the bug. That's right, the computer bug. So we'll see how that plays out. I hope that they're able to provide some kind of, you know, assistance, because it's just, I guess, had gone by himself right now, because Emma is knocked out. She lost battery juice or something. So she ain't got no power, and it don't seem like she's gonna be getting up anytime soon, even though she did hack his eyes, which I thought was cool. Shouts to Ghost in the Shell. But we don't really know where this is gonna take, I guess, Emma and Mike through the end of this, because they don't look like they're going to die before the end of the season. So I'm hoping there's a way to save Emma, or at least create a distraction where she can kind of reboot her suit or something. I don't know, something like that. And then they can maybe fight back to back in some cool, you know, last, you know, salvo or something like that. But all in all, man, this episode was cold as ice. Oh man, you know I had to say it. I dug it for real, man. This show is getting cool. I like the way that they weave in people's interpersonal relationships. I couldn't be happier, you know what I'm saying? I know big head, little body getting on my nerves, but in general, this show is tight, man. This show is super tight, so I gotta give them props, man. Ninja Kamui is dope. Holla at me in them comments. Let me know what you thinking. But since we on the point of shows that got me hype, I'm gonna bring up a show that came back recently in Invincible. Now, this episode of Invincible, I don't dislike it. Before I start, it's not that I dislike it, because I like the show in general, and I think that this episode was a good episode. I think that this is a bad episode to come in off of a hiatus. That's what I think, because I'm watching the episode and I'm like, yeah, man, you know, I really just wanted a little bit more of a flashy, poppy kind of, you know, reintroduction to the show. But narratively, this episode makes sense. You know, we got your boy coming back. He finally relaxes a little bit. He gets, you know, Mark has been around the world and you know what I'm saying? So he comes back. Shoot, we see the rebuilding of the you know, the bug planet. Then you see that Bug Mama, you know what I'm saying, Nolan's ex-wife now, well, I guess she's still his wife. I mean, you know, he ain't divorced, but you know what I'm saying? She's like, look, take your brother back to Earth, because I'm going to be dead soon. Like, we live short lives. So it'll be, we have no concept of generations. I mean, no concept of like centuries and stuff like that. So take my son. So all right, Mike go home. He got a brand new baby. And I mean, it's his little brother. You know, they make a good point of like, yo, Nolan just does these things and people are just left to kind of deal with the fallout of all of these decisions that he's making. And you know, because he could have just, you know, had protected love, you know what I'm saying? But he had to make another kid. See what I'm saying? Oh, boy, just killing me, man. But to the, I guess, credit of Debbie, she handled it, I guess, as well as you could. I mean, all right, think about it. She said this dude been gone for 2 months, all right? So Mark gone 2 months. Shows back up. He like, hey, mom, how's it going? She's like, oh, my God, I miss my son. How you been? I'm glad you're in one piece. Oh, baby, I miss you. I'm so happy to see your beautiful, shiny face. He's like, yeah, and my little brother. And she's like, little brother? All right? I ain't been nowhere. He's like, yeah, see, my daddy, though, Papa was a Rolling Stone. And he laid his hat in this home. And now he got a little brother. And also that Nolan ain't dead. And her having to come to grips with that, because she, of course, she's like, well, you know, I didn't know whether he was alive or dead, and didn't know whether I wanted him alive or dead. She did, you know, because something of this magnitude of someone who you've been like eating and drinking and sleeping with and sleeping beside and, you know, just sharing every moment with, doing something like this, it's a lot to kind of wrap your head around. You know what I'm saying? It's a whole lot to wrap your head around. And so I guess she handled this about as well as you could. You know what I'm saying? Shouts to her for being like, all right, I'm going to take some time off of work and try to watch the kid. And, you know, we'll figure something out. You know what I'm saying? Shouts to Debbie. She like, we're going to figure something out. We're going to make a way. You know, that's what unfortunately found/broken families have to do. They just have to kind of figure it out. You know, you got to, you know, build the track while the train is moving kind of thing. And with that said, I gotta ding your boy Cecil this episode for two reasons. Cecil was lying to his number one about being a cyborg now. Then he also talk about I'm gonna send a team to take your brother. Like, first thing, Mark, I forgot that Mark was like, I'll work for you. I forgot about that. because he came back and Cecil was like, where you been? I was like, bro, I don't work for you. And I was like, oh, snap, hold up. He do work for him. Because he stupidly was like, I'll do whatever you need me to do. No. I'm going to help out where I can. You don't own me. And I don't owe you nothing. I don't owe you nothing at all. I'm a hero. So I love doing hero things. And I'm going to do my best. But all I'ma say is that what you need to do is give me my space. But nah, not him. Or I'll do whatever you need me to do, Cecil. So anyway, now Cecil talk about I'ma take my brother. Look, he was like, look, don't play with me. And Cecil need to realize, like, yo, if Mark wanted to, I think he's fast enough to kill you and get back to his house to save his little brother. Now, that would also put him at odds with pretty much every hero on the planet. He'd probably have to leave. But Cecil be making these wild threats, bruh. He be making these wild threats. And he don't be making these threats to like a whack hero. He be standing up in like the most powerful hero's face making threats, bruh. It's not a good look. Like, even the first season when he hit Nolan with that, I guess the space cannon or whatever, he was like, no, you wouldn't. Man, look, Cecil, yo, he be out here reckless. For real. But outside of that, we do get kind of the kind of paint by numbers things that you have to cover in episodes like this, because there's been such a big plot point happening, which is kind of like the meeting up with the old friends, the girlfriend, the, you know, being like, hey, I'm back. How's everybody going? How's everything doing? I'm sorry. Oh my God, I missed this. I missed that. Those kind of things, right? And all of those things are necessary and they're needed in a narrative. The only thing is, when you're coming back from a very long hiatus, this isn't the excitement that I was really looking for. I was looking for way more excitement than this. And it underwhelmed me in that way, but the episode is good. You know what I'm saying? It's, and I mean, if I'm not explaining it right, I do apologize. But if you understand what I'm saying, let me know, because it's not, I don't think this is a bad episode. It's just, I don't think this is an episode that you come off of a hiatus with. Now we did get some action though. We did, you know, of course, Martian Manhunter came clean, and half of the team was like, yeah, we knew you was a Martian. Like, I don't even know. I don't know. You're not fooling us, or you haven't fooled us. as opposed to, what was it, Guardian or whatever? He was like, I had no idea. Like, y'all was just going to keep this from me. So I guess he fooled somebody. But his whole nonchalant attitude about the Sequids coming, or the Sequinoids, Sequids, they were Sequids, right? Anyway, his whole nonchalant attitude, it was like, bruh, this is not the time for that. I need you to focus up and be ready. Like, I need you to get your stuff together while you're wasting all your time right along with your mind. Now, with that said, we got the Sequids coming to Earth, which we knew was going to be a bill that had to come due. Shouts out to this is good and sad at the same time. All right, the team members that were left over, like Rex, and shouts to Rex having that one heart-to-heart with I can't remember her name now. Not Kate, not Duplicate, but Eve. Having that heart-to-heart with Eve, that was cool, man. That showed some character growth on his end. And even more so that I'll talk about in a second, but them being on Earth by themselves, where the second he said, bruh, there's never going to be two big things at one time, I was like, don't say that. I said it out loud. I was watching the episode. I was like, don't say that. No, don't say that. Because the second you say that, it's coming true. And what do we get? We got to see not only the Sequids battle in space/spaceship, and also Adam Eve really step up her power game on being out there in the vacuum of space and being able to hold that force field for not only herself, but like for 7 or 8 people, however many was out there. and then able to phase inside the ship to go in and infiltrate. But then we get the Lizard League on Earth. And that battle, whoo boy, they were severely, like, they were just outmatched, man. They could not duplicate, couldn't do nothing. The Ant-Man girl couldn't do nothing. I mean, you know her name. I can't think of her name right now, but the Ant-Man girl. Like, I mean, and they fought hard too. Like, this was not, it wasn't like they just got steamrolled over, but they were just outmatched, man. It was a dope scene to see, but also kind of sad because it was like, they ain't got nothing for them. And Lizard League ain't even the hardest dudes in them streets. At least I don't think so. I mean, first season, they played the Lizard League like they were kind of pushovers. Like, they were kind of lame. But this season, maybe they under new management. You know what I'm saying? Whenever you get a new manager, you know, things do change. You know what I'm saying? So maybe that's the deal. But, boy, that scene was hard to watch and sad because they're just losing. And they're throwing of course with Rex, he's literally throwing everything he has and they're just losing. Rex loses an arm, loses a hand / forearm, whatever, and he's still trying to fight. And it changed my outlook on Rex as a leader. Because Rex, I was like, this dude isn't a leader. He sucks. He's pompous, arrogant. But he put everything on the line. He put his life on the line. He did everything he could to try to make sure that his team was safe before he was safe. And it just, at the end of the day, it just wasn't enough. It wasn't like he didn't try. It wasn't like they didn't try. That was kind of heart-wrenching to watch. I ain't going front. It was like, dang, they just losing. And it wasn't even like, ha ha, you losing. It was just like, oh my God, like, they're losing. And my thing is, if Cecil knew about it, why didn't he send in like at least some basic soldiers, some basic troops to kind of run interference or something? Like, I'm like, yo, Cecil, where you at? Like, he just kind of sent him to the meat grinder and didn't send, you know how he got those like extra kind of like, you know, foot soldiery type troops? Why he ain't sending them? Bruh, it was sad. But guys, look, let me know what you think about Invincible. Let me know what you think about Ninja Kamui. I'm digging both of them. I'm glad Invincible's back. Let's see where we go. But of course, with that said, holla at me. I'm going to holla at you down in them comments. Let's talk about all these wonderful things. Because it's NERD, SOUL, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, podcast, all that jazz. And until the next time that you get woke up by Optimus Prime and you're mad more ripped than you were before, this is us to you just saying, peace.